This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Francis Beck and Tom Prince from WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is here. This morning, we are going to be talking rugby, and we have Kenmore head coach Bill Conrad and assistant coach at Grand Island, Ryan Jones, in studio to talk rugby this morning. All right, guys, it's another miserable Saturday morning in Western New York. How are we ever going to get nice weather? Come on.
Spring continues to be the worst. I am with Jeremy. Americans against spring.
All right.
Americans against spring?
Yes, you heard me right.
No, I think it's spring against Western New York, it seems. I mean, come on. I got work to do in the backyard. I tried taking some of the branches, you know, that come down over the winter.
Weather's bad. Well, I won't be able to do my work in the backyard. See, I might have to lounge around on the couch and let's see, what can I make for lunch and supper today and lunch and supper next week? Oh, this weather's bad. Getting me so
which lunch?
Depressed.
The first lunch or the second lunch?
Yeah, like,
which dinner? The first dinner or the second dinner?
At Kensington, of course, with the cafeteria, we had three lunches: an A lunch, a B lunch, a C lunch, and they staggered.
I went to all three at Burger.
I was just gonna say, we hope for study hall.
I was good
hall.
Friends with the lunch ladies.
Yeah. Hope for study hall, fourth and fifth period, so you could go to all three lunches.
No lie, I in between classes, I would swing into the cafeteria to get a quick sandwich. Before the next class started. So, yeah, I did that. No, I have motivation to get my yard done. I want my patio set up so I can sit in the backyard. One of my favorite things is on a Saturday night when it's warm out, I sit back there, and it's really peaceful. And sometimes on a quiet night, I could hear the bands playing at Foley's Bar. It's about a mile away from my house. So I get free entertainment. I sit back there. You know, maybe a couple buddies will stop by. It's just a great time. So I have motivation to get my yard done. Not to mention to get the kids out of the house, let them play outside so they stop trashing the inside.
Absolutely.
Spoken like a true parent. Yeah. All right, as I said, we're going to be talking about rugby today, and I'm really excited about that. But before we do that, we have to get to news and notes, Francis. And I know you and Tom have a lot of stuff. So, Francis, we'd like to kick off with you since you're the youngest member of the clan. Go right ahead.
All right. So there was a big meeting this weekend. The New York State Public High School executive meeting was Thursday. And there were a lot of key votes and changes that took place. So we'll start. The most immediate one is the seven-day rule, meaning that right now teams can start playing seven and practicing 7 days a week. So that means you'll probably see games for baseball and softball on Sunday until the postseason.
That's actually a good idea, especially because of when you're faced with needing to pick up a rain date.
That's exactly what it is for the spring. I guess it's not just in Western New York; it's all across the state. The weather has, quote, wreaked havoc on the sports schedules and all that. And so they are waiving the seven-day.
It's either that or build a bunch of indoor facilities, but I don't see that happening. Oh,
yeah, it's a lot more expensive.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I will tell it when Francis is done and Tom are done with their spiel.
If you don't do this, it's going to be doubleheaders. And then doubleheaders is going to be even more taxing on pitching staffs and different things, especially when we're talking about pitch counts that are out there.
So the big news that came out was that beginning in 2020-21, all sports except for football will have a shortened season. They'll be shortened by 1 week. Football will keep the same amount of length, but their season will be pushed back a week, or their championship will be pushed back 1 week into December most months.
So they'll do it the week after Thanksgiving. That'll be the New York State Championship in Syracuse.
Yeah, and looks like they'll probably cut the preseason for all the other sports down to 1 week to account for it.
See, this is what a part of it that I don't like is because you have all those wonderful holiday tournaments, tip-off tournaments, so obviously that's going to have an impact.
It's going to have an impact, especially on that Thanksgiving week when boys basketball gets started. How will that affect with more football teams playing? That will certainly have an effect. We do have time, though, to figure out how many games, if they want to bring it back for each sport. I imagine it's going to be different for every sport. There was a recession in 2009, and they cut back a lot of games. So now they were talking about bringing back a lot of them. So it's going to be each sport and each school kind of trying to figure out what's going to work best for everybody for that.
Okay.
But at least, you know, good part about it is you have the fall. You give kids a week back of their summer. Winter was already very long, so you cut that. And then spring, like we're talking about, it usually doesn't start till later when you start to get going. So pushing it back a week might not be the end of the world. You're probably still getting the same amount of time outside. So just some things to think about, and there'll be a lot to go over these next 12 months or so as they figure this out. The other big thing that happened, the most controversial decision, was there was a motion to make all sports abide by NFHS rules. This was voted down only 12 to 10, and the big thing that this affected was girls basketball. We had a lot of people around here complaining about it because if they would have changed, they would have went from NCAA rules to the high school rules, which is some drastic changes, including an optional shot clock, which
you
by
take
mean,
away
is
the
crazy.
Shot clock and you'll have the most boring game on earth. There would be no reason to watch. Who wants to watch a game that's 20-16? I don't even think Roger would.
No, they would be absolutely crazy. And there were some other changes, but not as big. But those are the big changes coming up in the futures, or not coming up. So there'll be a lot of discussions in the next 12 months and to see how things are going.
Francis, what was the final verdict and I'm going by what Diana reached to me off the website and all that, is it possible now that the state championship games at the Carrier Dome will no longer be played on Thanksgiving weekend? It might be moved back.
That is what's going to happen. So football is going to start the same time as everything else, but they're going to keep it the same length. So football is always 15 weeks. It stays 15 weeks.
13
weeks. Yeah. Soccer was 14.
But then that moves the state championship back to a week after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Then. Okay, attention, Dennis Cerro, if you're listening, that will affect when you have to set up the Conley Cup luncheon at Ilio's.
Oh, yeah. That'll be another.
I didn't even think about that.
Now it would conflict if they. There is one scenario, I think, when the.
If Thanksgiving's
when
early.
Falls on the 22nd. Then they will still be able to keep it in November. But other than that, the championships are going to end up in the first Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in December. And I say Friday, Saturday, Sunday because if Syracuse happened to schedule a Saturday home football game, that's why you have the day in
right.
between where the for the high school championships.
Okay. Tom Prince, I know you have a lot on your plate.
So we just talked Conley Cup. Let's go to Conley Cup now to the Colpoys Barrows Cup, which
All
everybody
right.
knows we've been now talking about, which will be the Western New York High School Baseball Player of the Year this year. Mm-hmm. Our first nominations have come out for the players that are eligible now to be considered for a finalist for this award. They are Brandon Orr of Akron, Jack Putney of Clarence, John White Clarence, Joe Pagano Depew, Philip Messina Dunkirk, Lucas Giuliano of East Aurora, Aaron Hare of Frewsburg, Bryce Jackson of Jamestown, Dom Schmidt at Ken West, Ryan Malarski of Niagara-Wheatfield, Josh Mittag at Orchard Park, Nate Wareski at Orchard Park, Charlie Brunning of Roy-Hart, Mitchell Pascarella of Southwestern, Austin Lux of Springville, Mike Hellig of St. Francis, Sam Murphy, St. Joe's, Will Carlone, St. Joe's, Chris Nino, St. Mary's, Joe Mack, Will East, Andrew Fairbrother, Will North, and Ian Evans of Wilson. So this encompasses the entire first month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, there are a lot of good players still not on this list, okay? We'll keep doing this every week from here on in. You're going to see more names enter that are in here. Some of these accomplishments that are recognized here are just unbelievable accomplishments. Let's look at some of them. Bryce Jackson, Jamestown, 16 strikeouts versus Fredonia. 16 wow. strikeout game he actually has had out there. Jack Putney of Clarence, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs against against Frontier. You've got Lucas Giuliano, 4 hits, 7 RBIs versus Springville. I mean, there are just some phenomenal games that need to be recognized. That doesn't account all the no-nos that are out there. Austin Lux throws a no-hitter for Springville. You actually had Ryan Malarski of Niagara-Wheatfield throws a no-hitter. Joe Pagano of DePue threw a no-hitter and a 3-hitter, 2 complete games, 21 strikeouts against Lakeshore and Maryville. Two quality teams out there that are baseball teams. Absolutely. They're all phenomenal things. Aaron Hare, Frewsburg, no-hitter. Mitchell Pascarella, Southwestern. 15 strikeouts versus Dunkirk, 11 versus Maple Grove, 11 versus Fredonia, plus multiple 3-hit games.
That's just amazing.
You know, and again, don't get me wrong. There are some other great accomplishments out there. I had to whittle it down to 22, and there's still more that could be recognized.
Right.
We've got some great players I know. I know the biggest that I'm hearing it from is from the Medina group right now that are off to a great start, 11-1. I get it. Trust me, you're going to see kids recognized out there. It's just all over. Some of these accomplishments were just so overwhelming they had to be looked at that so are out there.
Keep stay tuned. You're going to be posting them. You got the WNY Athletics. You could go on a Facebook page for Inside High School Sports. You'll have the information there. So that's great stuff. Now, what else do you have?
Two more things. So the other thing is Orchard Park right now is having their parade for their Little League right now. They're about to make a huge announcement at the Little League Parade. They're going to be starting their first ever Challenger program. And as we know, we've been hearing a lot in the news with the whole unified programs that are out there right now, losing funding and or right. losing time to be able to play out there. Orchard Park will be starting a Challenger League in their Little League that will not be any cost to the people to sign up, and they'll have the opportunity to be able to play baseball in the Orchard Park Little
That's
League.
That's outstanding. That is outstanding. Congratulations, Orchard Park Little
yeah,
League.
Yeah, they did a great job there, and there's a couple people, Ted Fallon, Joe Stallone, that deserve a lot of credit in making that happen. So I give them a lot of
Kudos.
Credit in what they're doing, as well as the Orchard Park board that's out there. The last announcement that I had this past Monday, the BCANY Boys Basketball Banquet was held at Ilio DePaulo's. Noah Hutchins has been named Alvin Wilson Player of the Year. And Western New York Athletics presented Jacob Belate of Williamsville North with the Breakthrough Player of the Year Award.
Cool. Cool. Good stuff. All right. Now, on to me for my G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you want to nominate a coach, all you do is go to livefit.com, and that's where you go to nominate your coach for the G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. Congratulations goes to Kelly Ambrose of Lancaster Softball, collecting her 200th career win. So congratulations to Kelly Ambrose. And as we get ready to transition into rugby, congratulations to my former teammate, Jerry Hahn, who's being inducted into the Buffalo State Rugby Hall of Fame. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And with Jerry, it's not just about what he did on the field. If you ever played against him, first of all, if you were lucky to catch him, which I don't think you were.
He's a fierce competitor.
He was something else. But Jerry has been so instrumental in Western New York rugby, working with whether it's Bonaventure, UB. And if I'm not mistaken, he might have been one of the originals that get rugby going in Kenmore West.
He came in about 3 years into our program.
It was about 3 years
in? He took over the girls program for
us.
His daughter was playing.
So he's had an impact on local rugby.
Yep.
His passion for rugby is unmatched. So congratulations to Jerry Hahn. Great guy. And we are talking rugby this morning. As I mentioned, we have Kenmore head coach Bill Conrad, and we have Grand Island assistant coach Ryan Jones in studio to talk rugby this morning. It's a great sport, guys, as you guys know. If any of our listeners out there, if you've not had a chance to watch rugby, yeah, NBC Sports has been airing a lot of stuff. It's exciting.
Six Nations got a lot of airplay this year.
Right. I mean, it's great stuff. Get out there and watch it. And rugby in Western New York does very well. We've had some really good programs. Our colleges have solid programs, and now we're seeing it come down to the high school. As I mentioned, Kenmore, one of the innovators, or one of the first ones in, I think Kenmore was.
Yeah, we were the ourselves and City Honors were the first two programs in 2003, 2004 season.
And since then, how much has it grown in the high school level?
leaps and bounds. Everything from female rugby to youth rugby, now flag rugby. And, of course, you've seen the standard of play up at the men's club and collegiate rise with it. So it was a nice natural progression.
And what I like is that we have a lot of former players that are working with the youngsters and
absolutely
teaching,
yep,
and bringing that. The youth rugby stuff, I wish we would get more information on that so I could, yep, promote it,
sure,
and get it out there, because I think...
we got Kenmore Youth Rugby. We've got the Orchard Park Youth Rugby, and South Buffalo has a youth rugby program. And, like most things, it's just word of mouth and, Facebook or whatever, how to get out there. But they've got a really nice... flag program for young kids. It's co-ed, and then of course
I think that's a great idea.
It is. It's phenomenal. My daughters, all three, two of my three daughters are playing in it, and my son's playing in it, and then you progress up to learn to tackle, where we slowly teach them how to tackle properly. We talked about earlier off the air about the football tackle, adopting the rugby style tackle. We teach that technique, and then we slowly innovate and bring it into the game, and so on. So it's quite exciting, actually.
By the way, to my fellow Little League football coaches out there, feel free to contact these guys. Reach out to some of the rugby programs. Yeah. Bring them in. And you mentioned we had the conversation before the show about what we call hawk tackling, mm-hmm, which is rugby tackling.
Yep.
And Pete Carroll nicknamed it hawk tackling. He's one of the first in the NFL, is a big proponent of this style of tackling because it makes the game safer.
Absolutely.
You're keeping your head out, and it's going to the side. And you watch a rugby game, and the tackling is so technique solid,
mm-hmm,
and bringing down. There's very few breaking tackles.
I'd say it a step further that the we've always known in rugby, and if you look at some of the early USA rugby teams, they're always wrestlers. The double leg takedown, their ability to shoot in and step through has been the same thing. It's been I was a wrestler. I have a wrestling background. Coached wrestling for a number of years for Kenmore West. That has been, that is just lock and step with the rugby tackling and getting it out there. So I got to give a shout out to my wrestling coaches out there. Thank you for the double leg takedown.
Absolutely. teaching kids, are they able to grasp it early? I mean, rugby can be complicated.
It's funny.
Because of the rules.
It is. We teach at the very basic level. We just actually had two boys step out on the field for us last week. And they're coming in after the other guys have had 2 months worth of training with us. And, we teach two simple things. When you got the ball, run straight. And if the guy's got the ball, tackle him. And, if you get
what
those
a
two...
radical concept.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about rugby is so you don't have to master the rules early on.
No.
I remember when I first started playing, I didn't know all. I was lost, but like you just said, they told somebody has the ball, tackle him.
The same athletic principles in soccer and volleyball and basketball and football translate over to it immediately. And it's like I said, it's a wonderful sport. It involves all these different things from wrestling to football to soccer. And there's elements of hockey that we see in the game. The kids learn, mm-hmm, how to pin someone and offsides kick and so on. And they really use those skills. So you know what? As complicated as it seems, it's actually a very simple game. And the rules come very naturally to the kids. And I think we do a pretty bang-up job of what I call rugby 101 in about 3 weeks. And they're playing games within that time period, never being experienced to it at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a lot of first-year players, a lot of young talent. As of right now, we have 13 sophomores on our team. From them just being so young, being able to pick up the game and go towards their junior and senior years, them being able to coach the newer generation coming in, that's the biggest help for us.
Sure.
And that's something that will help grow the program and then take it to the collegiate and men's level.
We just went on a tour to Wales, UK, United Kingdom.
I want to talk about that because we're up against a break here.
Sure.
And that's one of the things I want to talk about because and it's you guys in Kenmore have been setting up and have traveled before in the past, and this is a big thing for you guys.
It's a lot of time and organization.
and I can tell you firsthand from being exposed to teams that that's their sport.
Yeah.
When I played for UNLV, we played against a 19 and under championship team from New Zealand. They cleaned our clock.
Absolutely.
Absolutely cleaned our clock.
As well they should have, you know.
But you learn, and that's the great thing. So we'll talk about that on the other side of this break. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome back to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri. Francis Beck and Tom Prince from WNY Athletics is here along with Roger. We have Kenmore head coach Bill Conrad and Grand Island assistant coach Ryan Jones. We're talking rugby this morning. And don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. 2 o'clock, the Derby pre-show, Batavia Downs, and then 5 o'clock, all the Derby action right here. I'm kind of bummed, Raj, because my horse got scratched. I was going to bet the ranch on Omaha Beach because this, you know, being the 75th anniversary.
And let
I
me
thought
guess.
It was a tell. But.
And let me guess, now you're bummed because if you'd have bet the ranch and lost, you wouldn't have had to clean the backyard.
Yeah, that's true.
See, I thought you were going to say you were bummed because Roger didn't wear his hat in like he should for the Kentucky Derby.
Normally he does. He'll bring in a mint julep and he'll have
what,
you know,
I got my garbage
hat.
Plate hat. What more do you want?
Yeah, it's not festive enough. There's no flowers, at least, or no water fountain coming out of the top or anything. Like that.
Oh, what, should I had an order of French fries on top of the
garbage
cap?
Plate. And, yeah. You should have had an old garbage plate hat.
Garbage plate hat. That's a good idea. Someone out there needs to come up with that.
I got to find something on the garbage plate that I wouldn't, that would be around long enough for me not to eat, Anthony, so keep it in the real world. Anthony, I have a quick question for our guests. You mentioned something earlier. The good, interesting thing about rugby is how simplified a game it is. It isn't complicated, at least as far as the coaches teaching the players and all that. My question is, does that also trickle down to the spectators? I'll tell you why, because the biggest problem I have in sports like soccer, field hockey, lacrosse, is lack of, you know, having a
handle on
the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, especially field hockey's the worst. I mean, they blow a whistle, you know, every time the wind blows, I swear to God.
I think,
I just can't catch on. And that's why I say, from a fan's viewpoint, would I catch on pretty much, if I go to two games, do I at least have a handle?
I think so. I think you're going to celebrate a magnificent run, and I think you're going to celebrate a phenomenal tackle. Those things translate pretty easily. The lineouts and how they get the ball back in or a scrum down, but
the lineouts are fun though.
Yeah,
because you're throwing out. You know, you have. If I'm throwing it in, that's what I did. So we'd have a designated who's going to jump to get the ball. And in Vegas, everything was gambling. Mm. Ace of spades, jack of clubs. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so you could be creative with that kind of stuff.
Dead man's hand.
So I look at the success of USA Sevens and just look at the spectator part of that game where it's just just less players on the field and how more exciting it is to watch the opening.
Sevens may be one of the most exciting sporting events on earth, period. It's just amazing.
Just to be in the
stands.
If
you're a fan, if you like watching football and you like seeing great runs, you like to see a running back, you know, just tear it up like Barry Sanders days or Gale Sayers, watch Sevens because that's what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And, in fact, with the Bills signed a running back that played rugby for England's national team.
He played for England but also played for the Wasps, which is a professional club. He was one of the more more outstanding athletes on the field in terms of runs and tackling, which is interesting to see how that will translate over being an offensive player and defensive player. Where are they going to put him? I've been saying he's the next Steve Tasker, to be honest with you, because Steve Tasker was a rugby player as well at Northwestern.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He was. He won a national championship. And I met him at his daughter played for East Aurora Rugby,
yep.
And he said, you know, I've got a couple jerseys in my trophy room, and one of them is my Northwestern rugby jersey. So
wow.
Yeah. So that skill set.
That's cool.
So, Steve, if you're out there, way to go.
plus, signing these rugby players to your team, now they're going to bring a whole other element of tackling.
Right.
So with the Bills not having, obviously, any rugby players on the team, now he can bring up the rugby tackle and now evolve the defense.
I see a special teams player in the making right there.
Sure.
Absolutely. Use him as a gunner.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, absolutely. And you guys mentioned before the show that even Sean McDermott has gone out and caught some rugby, kind of get an idea and a feel for how they're tackling.
We do a lot of our practices at the Bills Fieldhouse, and they're very an outstanding partner with us and let us rent it out. And we all work together collectively to have practices there, and they're there. They're watching. The players are watching. They're working out.
Let's talk about your trip to Wales, what that was like. Now, you're taking kids that are just learning the game, and you're going to play against teams that they've been playing since they started walking.
Not only that, but we didn't play the lower end of the spectrum. We played three teams by design. We played Bridgend College, which is in the UK system. You can leave your high school at 16 and then go to a trade school or a college, and then you go to university after. So their Bridgend was a scholarship rugby program, and they went to school there and majored in becoming a professional athlete. That's what they go there for. So they have a sports academy center, and those kids we put points on them. It was a high score, it was 50 something to 30 something, but we scored. And we scored first. And the first half, we really put a dent in it.
That had to get people's attention.
It did. It did. So did our chance, but that's another story. and then we played a Christ College, which is another one of these scholarship programs. But this one is, of course, a preparatory school for university, really high-end boarding school. I mean, they're paying like close to $40,000 a year to go there. But the players that played on the rugby team were scholarshiped. And a couple of the boys, and both teams had been playing for Wales national team and had already signed professional contracts for either the Bridgend Ravens or the Ospreys. So we played those two clubs, and the second game we scored once. It wasn't as well, but I'll tell you, some of our players like Joe Stewart and Cam Crozier, Hunter Phillips really, really performed. And then finally we played just a regular compulsory school like Kenmore West or East or Grand Island, and we lost. And this is where the ref comes in sometimes, what we call a home job, but we lost 26-22.
So you were very competitive.
Very competitive. And
did they say, the teams that you play, the coaches that you talk to, did they say anything afterwards like, wow, we're really impressed with you guys?
They love our pregame chant. They love our songs after. They love the enthusiasm we had. In fact, we showed up to Bro Ed, and the coach also coaches the basketball team. He said, would you mind playing my basketball team? You Americans are really good at it. So we played them. We ended up tying them. And our guys were doing the chants on the sides and going nuts. And one of our props sunk a three and everybody went crazy. And he goes, I just love that. We don't have that here. And they get something out of it, too. They get the American experience that they only see on TV.
That is so neat.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Yeah. I mean, it's great stuff. Any more? Are the other schools exploring the possibilities of traveling?
This is our fourth tour. And every time, I'll be honest with you, everybody comes back and they're like, wow, we looked at the pictures. The kids got to stay with people in another country and eat different food. And you know, unless you're taking a foreign language AP class or something, you don't really get to experience that much. And to come back and do that, we've got City Honors girls coaches called me. Grand Island, we were chatting about it. You know, all these clubs. I know Fairport and McQuaid. But if you're going to keep interest in the sport and celebrate that cultural aspect of it, I'm a history teacher by trade, and I had those kids in the tunnels of World War II at Cardiff Castle. We were checking out, the history of everything, and it was really rewarding. The parents had a ball. They went horseback riding. They checked the canals. They got the local flavor. So, and the Welsh, it's not England. It's not Ireland. They're not used to having Americans there. And it's really, they're just like, whoa, hello.
Just go there and say Tom Jones. You're a fan of Tom Jones, and you're in. It's not unusual to be loved, man.
Yeah. In the one school we played, only spoke Welsh as their school language. That was the first language. And, this kid comes up and says, my name's Brech. And I said, your name's Brech?
Huh? What?
Yeah, I go, He goes, yeah, that's Welsh. It means lion. I go, I'm going to have a hard time with it. So it was awesome. You know, it was something that I think, and I always say this, I've got kids who are posting pictures on my Facebook from when we went to Scotland 10 years ago. And they're like, it was the best trip of my life. Thank you. You know, and it's no small undertaking. My parent group fundraised. These kids worked their butts off to get the money. I put it together with a longtime friend that we've had a brother or a relationship with, a sister school over there, Bridgend College. Their head coach, Gareth Nicholas, has come over here and run clinics. He's on the Wales U19 coach as well as the national development for Wales. And there's no reason that Wales is number two in the world in such a small country. You know, that's their bread and butter over there. And, you know, maybe cricket in the spring, but it's rugby mm-hmm. most of the time.
Well, I was going to bring up the fundraising because I know you guys do yeah. an awful lot of fundraising. You continue to post your events and, and the things like that. So if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see a lot of it. Cal Phillips, we thank him for all the stuff that he does and promoting
and his wife,
rugby
Stacey,
on our page.
Are phenomenal. But we also had all the other – we had parents. Douglas Boyd ran a candy bar drive. Everybody chipped in. Whether if they were running Super Bowl squares or whatever. And these kids, I mean, we got it down to a very cheap amount. And like I said, a trip of a lifetime for really a fraction of what they
If do. You look at rugby as a sport, it's inexpensive.
Yeah.
You're not spending a fortune on equipment.
No, cleats and a mouth guard.
So, you know, as far as costs go, it's easy for the districts, in my opinion, to make it varsity. Is there more push? Is there talk of it eventually?
Well, one of the things that we need to do is to grow more teams. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, we were chatting before that's our priority right now. Rugby New York needs to grow. We have to create more opportunities, even if it's just summer sevens to let kids try it if they're playing other sports. But one of the things we pride ourselves on is that this is a lifelong sport. These kids are leaving our program and playing at college or just playing for the men's club. I mean, Buffalo's in the playoffs this weekend today. Good luck, Buffalo, against Newport and Rhode Island for the Sweet 16 to go to the Elite Eight for USA Rugby. And 11 out of those 15 starters are Kenmore alumnists.
Wow.
Or had some background. So, you know, these kids keep playing. They love the game. They come back and coach. The real head coach this year designing a lot of the plays is Mackenzie Doolittle. He was one of my first starting players in 2004. He's come back. Steve Caruana is the head coach of Buffalo. You know, Fred Bursette, Ernie Scales. These guys are and what Dan and these guys are doing at Grand Island. We're doing co-practices coming up because we're better off working together and growing that game and getting better experience down the line. You know, we got to work cooperatively because if not, you know, we perish. You know,
what other things can be done to grow the game?
Well, it's like anything. How does it start? You know, you have to incubate it. Some people have the philosophy of starting with the young and then building it up and then until there's a demand. You know, it's like a demand-based thing. You know, look at girls' hockey. Look at hockey in general, how it first was club and then eventually built itself in through support and demand. I look at it that way. We're following that hockey model. Smart a youth program and then develop it.
Last week when we were talking about women's lacrosse, and I brought up the idea to our guest that how about a tour? Touring, you get two teams, you tour schools around Western New York, put on exhibition games, you invite the community, maybe get food trucks, whatever.
Love it.
You make an event.
Great idea. Funny you should mention food trucks, Anthony.
Well, because it's a draw, Roger.
And
it
gets such
people to the event.
Flaming
even
fish.
If you don't have, hey, such as, you know, Dirty Bird is going to be at this.
Tony,
I got to go.
I never even thought of that, but I'll be honest with you. Our kids today are at the Kenmore Cleanup. You know what I mean? They ran the Easter Bunny event in the town. They give back community-wise, but there's a second purpose. That is to expose themselves to the community, to let them know that they're not some thug that they saw 50 years ago or some, you know, brute, that they're regular kids and join a sport and giving back and selling that character part of the
absolutely
game.
I mean, there's a great movie called Forever Strong, and their whole entire philosophy is based off giving back to community. I mean, the local rugby team there went to the children's hospital, played with the children in the hospital, planted flowers, everything like that. And that's kind of like what rugby is in a way. Yeah, we go out, we play the sport, but it's also helping out in the community. I feel like rugby is just a big community-based team.
Yeah, it's a great support system for kids.
I got a question, and I might be really out on left field on
go
this one. Bear with me. I might be in foul territory. I might be out of the stadium.
That's all right.
But
you know,
my question is this. Down in the Southern Tier, we are talking about some of these high schools for football actually going to 8-man football.
Yeah.
What am I, you know.
8-man football in my mind is sevens.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I mean,
absolutely. It's sevens. They might as well bring us down there and start teaching
them. Well,
the
that's
game,
my you know? Point in all that. If they're, you know.
And it's an Olympic sport.
Not only that, yeah. too, and like you say, the cost for rugby compared to the cost to have a football program, that's got to be.
Oh. Fraction.
Thousands, millions, whatever. No, not millions, but yeah, many thousands.
I mean, we're neither Grand Island or Kenmore West East Rugby is funded by the school system. I mean, we use their fields and we're a club in the school and we follow all the rules and permission slips and so on and so on, but we're not funded. And so the fact that we can get by on such, you know, just by fundraising and doing a meat raffle just shows you how cheap it is.
Yeah, I mean, everything falls really on the coaches and the players. So you have to pay for your bus fees and your ref fees, your field fees, all that.
Just like we did in college. We, yep. you know, okay. it came out of our pack. In fact, a couple of years, I didn't go to any away games because I couldn't afford to travel. So, you got to, you know. Most of them are self-sufficient,
yeah.
and you know, you see any kind of fundraiser, you know, whether it's a car wash or whatever, pull your car in, yeah. give them some money, and donate.
Appreciate
All right, guys,
it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, talk a little bit more about rugby in Western New York, especially at the high school level. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. One last segment of Inside High School Sports, then Sports Talk Saturday takes the air at 11. 2 o'clock, Kentucky Derby pregame for Batavia Downs, and then followed by the Kentucky Derby. We're talking rugby this morning in our last segment here, and you know we're talking about this break. It's a fun game. It's a fun game to watch. And Roger, you brought up about you know whether somebody would be able to understand just watching it. And I think you can. And like you guys mentioned, while watching the game, you can get an idea of what's happening. You don't have to know every rule. Sure, there's going to be whistle stops. You're not going to understand why they have to scrum on a, you know, on a particular yeah. play. One thing that, you know, and I know it's part of strategy, but I can't stand it when you get the ball and just kick it away. And I know it's about field position and that. No, I'm the type of guy
so
that
don't like
I want to
either, do you?
I want to attack. I don't want to give the
Fourth
ball
Fourth and 30 from his own 5 yard line, he's going to go for it.
You know, there's a statistical approach to that, too, you know?
So. Yeah, there is. And, you know, and. So you kind of learn these quirks of the game,
yeah,
just by watching.
Well, and that is, I mean, we screw up every week and teach a new skill every week, and there's so much to teach. But again, they're walking away and they're smiling, they're having a good time, they're having a meal after the game.
Absolutely, yeah.
They have to meet their. We force them to come over and meet their guy they played against and have a conversation.
That's it right there, and that's the point that I wanted to bring up is that. Rugby, unlike most sports, after the game is over, it is tradition for both teams to hang out.
Yeah.
And usually it's the host team yep. will have some sort of party or some sort of get-together.
Well, we were at Christ College. The parents are like, well, we're having tea for the parents at 4 p.m., and the boys will be showering, and then we'll have our team dinner at 6. And they're all wearing smart blazers and stuff. And our parents went in, and they had finger sandwiches and tea and lovely scones and things like that. And they're chatting like it was just an afternoon, in the, you know. And we're I'm just, and again, we do our pizza and pasta yep. side dishes, and we're eating on a ground, you know, next to each other. But
while you're still dirty, filthy, sweaty.
We joke, though. We're like, one day you're either going to be a teammate or playing each other again. You might as well meet the guy.
Yeah.
Especially in the Buffalo area with the amount yeah. of men's teams and collegiate teams there are. No matter what, you're going to be a teammate with somebody else that you played against.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And when we had Western New York Empire State games, we Rochester and Buffalo combined, and that was I was sad to see that go. I thought that
yeah.
really allowed that camaraderie to grow.
Oh, I hate to see the Empire State games this guy. I thought that was phenomenal for every sport,
Absolutely.
Not just you yeah. know what I mean, not just rugby. I thought it was a phenomenal yeah. for every sport.
I think it really hurt us. You know, is a sevens program. You know, we're going independently, but we had a wonderful league together.
So
know?
Here's my question for you: we got the Olympics that are going to be around the corner again.
Yeah.
Will we see Western New York athletes on this Olympic team?
Well, right now we've got U-16 player Cooper Laskowski, who is named captain of the U-16 team and has been named to the squad going over to Ireland representing the U-17. And we have Emily Enrich, obviously, who's just tearing it up at Dartmouth, but also at the national scale. I went to Chicago to watch her with her mom and dad, and she very well could be in the Olympics as well. So both male and female. We have had competitors representing the United States from the area. It's just, like you said, it's getting press and recognizing them. And you guys are doing that for us here. Thank you. I appreciate what you're having us on.
What go through some of the schools. I know you mentioned City Honors and Grand Island and yourselves at Kenmore.
Canisius.
Canisius. Who else is playing?
Well, and that's our local league, really. We have, and then you go over to Rochester, you have McQuay Jesuit, you have Fairport, you have like a Rochester club. Corning has grown up.
Corning's just blown up the last 3 years.
Really?
It's a rural town.
Amazing with, you know, rugby.
Just amazing
club
rugby coming out of. They're going down to Susquehanna University and winning their tournaments, and they're growing their game. A Buff State alumnist, I believe, is a part of that as well. So these guys are coming back, and gals are coming back and giving back to the kids and developing it. So we talk about how to grow the game. That's what they're doing. They're getting jobs in schools, they're becoming teachers, and then they're building their clubs there. That's really one of the best ways to do the high school.
It's all about former players wanting to grow the sport as well.
Yeah.
So you guys are, you know, I don't know how, you know, structure of a league or whatnot. So you're basically, you're playing.
Well, we're calling ourselves Section 6 and Section 5.
Okay.
And we have a state-based championship. And we're doing that right now. Like right now, Grand Island and I think and Canisius and Kenmore are all competing for that number one spot berth out to represent Section 6. The top two will go for a crossover game. And then Section 5, you have Corning.
Yeah, Corning's the top dog out there right now.
And, you know, and Fairport and McQuaid were the top dogs for a long time. And it's going to be a race to see who's going to take that second spot. I'll tell you, I was very impressed with Grand Island the last match. We played a very cold, rainy game, and
horrible weather.
We had beaten them previously in a tournament, but they came back and really showed us, you know, that they wanted to play, and we were impressed by that. So kudos to Grand Island
for
stepping up their game.
I would guess as more and more clubs are started, then maybe New York State would look at.
I hope
at possibly letting it go varsity, and as I mentioned, you know, with the idea of touring and having teams, and it doesn't even have to be high school. You could get, you know, a team from Buff State playing against Bonaventure, mm-hmm. Niagara. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Niagara still has a team or
Niagara
not.
Niagara has a team, and I feel like that's what we need to really publicize because Niagara County is really all untapped.
Right, and so that's what I was going to say.
You had Lockport.
Yeah, Louport, Lockport, Wheatfield, you have the Falls. None of them have rugby programs, and that's something that you can
get two or three programs. Yeah,
yeah, you can get two or three more teams out there, and that really just blows up the whole Buffalo and Western New York market. And
I think it would be awesome if you guys were like play at Sal Magley Stadium, and you invite, you know, people from Lewiston and Wilson and whatever come down and check it out. You know, it's a decent sized facility, and you'd be able to accommodate something like that. And it just really would open up the eyes to the youth, so the young kids could see how much fun the game is, and then decide if that's something they want to do when they grow up.
Absolutely. And you know, and a lot of us have been volunteering, going into gym classes and just running, you know, rugby games, getting familiar with balls.
Just get a miter ball, throw it out there on the floor. Here, so have at it.
I know Emily Enrich's mom's been doing that in Orchard Park and going to YMCA's. I know the Kenton summer program in the town of Tonawanda's invited us in to run some programs during their summer camps.
Yeah, we got that as well for over the summer. Grand Island has like it's U9 and under. For like sports camp, and we had rugby implemented last year, and it really took charge in there.
Yeah,
look how big in Lewiston when they bring in all those soccer teams in.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another idea to be able to bring in
Buffalo,
a one day tournament. You bring in from Rochester, Syracuse, whatnot, and
South Buffalo ran the early April.
But it's a lot of work and it's a big undertaking.
Battle for the Border, and they had teams in from Toronto.
Yeah, they had seven fields going at a time. They had D1 collegiate teams. They had men's teams, women's teams, high school, youth, flag youth.
That's
amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming in studio and talking rugby with us this morning. Really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to Derek Kramer. We'll talk to you guys next week. Enjoy the Derby today, folks. Let's see. May the 4th be with you and Cinco de Mayo.
May the 4th. It's Diane and I is our anniversary. We were married on November 4th, so this is our half-year anniversary, 46 and a half years.
All right, outstanding stuff. We'll talk to you guys next week with more Inside High School Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.